Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network,
it's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Ernest Hancock from the bus. We're back in Bangor, Maine, back on the bus, and freaking you turn on computers and stuff happens. I mean, you know, it's just a thing. So sorry we're starting a little bit late. But John Snyzen is a good friend, known for a long time. He's up in Canada, Manitoba, Winnipeg. One of those is kind of a province, and one of them is a city. I don't know which one. I don't care. But, you know, what happens is he has the economictruth.org, and he's done a lot of work on understanding economics and doing the whatever. When I need to understand something, John, help me understand. But he has a Telegram that, you know, I belong to on a channel, and a lot of the stuff, you know, I put over on Declare Your Independence, and the stuff that he likes, he puts over up on Declare Your Independence Telegram also, but I put, you know, some more. I go, hey, how come you didn't put this one up, man? What up? So yeah. One of these that he had up there just really got my attention, and we're going to drill down on a whole bunch of economic stuff going on because there's a lot of stuff going on. But this one thing that he put up was just freaked me. I'm like, what the crap? You can't make this stuff up. So I'm going to put it up here on the, this one. Yeah, there we go. All right. So I want you to go ahead and explain it to me, you know, what this is. Now, there is a, let's see, push all the right buttons there. Creative Society, International Project. Human life is the highest value. But you're not a woman until you get an abortion, I'm sure. But the this is a site that is what? Tell us all about it, John. I glanced through this, read it, and I'm going, yep,
yeah.
Here we go. All right, where did you find this, and tell me all about it?
Well, I got introduced to it by somebody on LinkedIn, just sent it to me. Let's see here, what did they say? Ever heard of the Creative Society, John? It's a global project for humanity, dedicated to steering our civilization away from self-destruction. And then he said, learn more at creativesociety.com. Reach out if you have any questions. Best regards, Velik Aznatarliev.
Well, what is that? What kind of language is that, do you think?
It's
not American.
No, it's probably Balkans or in, in the, what do you call that, it's not Arab country, but it's like Armenia,
Serbia, Croatia.
Well, even above that,
Armenia,
Azerbaijan. Yeah, all those countries there. So yeah, it's probably from there somewhere. But when I looked it up, there's actually a lot of third world countries involved in this project, which is very interesting because it's, you know, they're trying to go after the poor and the people with the least amount of money to, you know, rile them up into, you know, friends, because you're going to die in 13 years. I think there's literally a timer even on their website somewhere that I found that like counts down to like 13 years left to live or something. Yeah, so they basically are, part of like kind of the NGO movement of the United Nations, but they're just like way more extremist than others.
Are they associated with the United Nations?
There's a lot of people on there that, like, especially their experts that are kind of associated with...
So it's a they-them-those-build-a-burden-W-E-F-of-the-people.
Yeah, exactly. It's another NGO that's out there, you know, pushing, conspiracies around, and we're trying to, you know, expose these people. But, you know, if you go and look at their whole thing, like, it's basically, you know, the UN modus operandi, take away private ownership of property, you know, give everybody free currency, you know, we're going to have a kumbaya moment before we die or something. They actually, like, as you can see here upon the birth, so they're promoting growth, which they kind of know that, you know, we're in actually, everybody's like, overpopulation, you know. I'm more in the boat because when you look at demographics, you know, that we're actually in a depopulation event, naturally, both from, you know, certain forces that they put upon us, but also, you know, the growth rate of humanity, especially in the Western countries, are declining rapidly. Here in Canada, They're importing a million immigrants every day, every year, in order to, you know, keep Canada from now collapsing. Because if you don't get, you know, a growth in the economy and growth in debt, you know, the whole debt-based system will collapse because it needs constant growth to grow. So,
they're going to pay for all the entitlements. You know, we have Japan is losing 600,000 people a year. They're closing schools. They're closing. They're just, especially the school thing. And, you know, probably 5-8 years ago, I remember they were selling more adult diapers than kid diapers. I'm like, wow. Now, here it says, to ensure complete implementation of creative society, like, I can't wait, it is necessary to introduce a new model of economy and new technologies, as well as to reorganize many processes in society. The Great Reset. Therefore, a transition period to the creative society is needed, which may last 5 to 6 years. Damn, that's pretty damn quick, whatever the hell they're doing. According to preliminary estimations, already during the transition period to the creative society, every person by birthright will receive the following benefits. By birthright, you get a monthly universal basic income equivalent to U.S. dollars, $10,000 for every adult. Monthly. Of course, I'll buy you a loaf of bread, but, you know, this is... It's ridiculous. A one-time payment equivalent to United States dollars of $100,000 upon the birth of the first child, $200,000 upon the birth of the second child, and so on. A monthly payment equivalent to $5,000 for every child up to 6 years old, inclusive, and $7,000 for a child 7 years old and matured. This is... Wow. What is the goal here? What are they talking about?
Well, it's pretty obvious what their goal is. I don't know. Like, I think these people are just completely economically illiterate, maybe. That might be the case. But, again, like, it's if we go further up there's a couple other points that we could touch upon. You know, it's, guaranteed economic stability, no inflation, economic defaults or crisis, stable fixed prices worldwide. You know, the only way you can accomplish that is by price controls, which we know doesn't work. The Roman Empire, you know, got destroyed trying to put in the edict of prices, you know, and keep prices stable by price controls. Like, it happens, you know, during natural disasters. They put up, you know, price control. You can't price gouge. But then nobody comes in to help and provide extra, assets and commodities to the people in need. And then, of course, you know, there's a massive lack of those things because of price controls. And nobody wants to produce because they can't sell it at a right price to actually make a profit to survive. Right? So it's totally insanity. And then the limited use of gas, electricity, water. Oh, that's free of charge. We're going to get free electricity, Ernie. And we're going to use gas, electricity. We're going to... Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Privately owned and spacious, comfortable, free housing with a minimum 650 square feet per person, high-quality health care, free of charge, high-quality education anywhere in the world, free of charge, four-hour work days.
Yeah, but we're going to guarantee economic stability and no inflation.
Four-hour work days. You know, four work days a week with equally high salaries worldwide for identical positions, blah, 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 blah.
Well, I agree with one thing here. You know, visa-free travel and unrestricted movement worldwide. Yes, please.
If you sign up, totally agree. If
look into the orb.
Right.
Look into the orb, Bernie.
Right. Now, this is one thing that they're not going to do. You're not going to be able to build your own home. You're not going to be able to build on land that you own. You're not going to be able to go and grow your own food. You're not going to. And I just want to know one thing. Where's the food in here? I didn't see anything about food. They're going to use food.
Just going to give free stuff. Fine. Don't ask questions, Ernie.
You want food? You gotta click your heels and Zieg Heil or something. This is so scary. You know,
everybody has these ideas these days. This does come from the United Nations, you know, and the Malthusian ideas out there, and like a total like misunderstanding because we're printing currency and it doesn't affect anything. But meanwhile, since 2020, we doubled like the debt here in Canada, the government, and we doubled the monetary supply and prices have skyrocketed. It's like they live in, like, I don't know where they come from, these guys. Maybe they're aliens, Ernie, that haven't, you know, had a monetary system yet, and they're trying to, tell us, like, join us, and then we'll give you this. Maybe they had it on their own planet, and they failed, and now they're trying to push it upon us.
Okay, I want to do these two things here, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
By exercising their right, the informing stage, step one, step two. Step one, we're going to tell you what we're going to do to you, then we're going to do it. Get over it, all right? By exercising their rights and freedoms, people inform others about the creative society. Yeah, come join. In this way, a legitimate and peaceful public demand is created for building the creative society all over the world. The sooner the majority of people form this demand, the sooner it will be possible to move on to the next stage of building the creative society. And the other 49% just get over it, okay? We're just going to do it. Once the majority of people in all countries of the world support the creative society, you know, based on a poll that they here did, we're going to do an election. Yeah, that'll do it. A world referendum will be prepared. A world referendum. Oh my God. And held to adopt the creative model of development as the only acceptable and necessary for the survival of humankind. This is Brave New World. This is all the dystopian novels and everything wrapped into one. So I need to know who is doing this. Now, if you go back to the front page and you scroll down, how did the Creative Society originate? All right, well, let's just talk about that. The largest volunteer social survey conducted over the course of 10 years revealed a real demand for a new format of society. The answers from millions of people in 180 different countries confirmed that the highest priority in society would be the value of human life. So I'm not even sure what that means.
You gotta love these elites and academics and their words that has no meaning.
Well, the value of human life, which means what? We've got to, climate change we got to deal with, it's not global warming, it's global boiling. I mean, so you would have any kind of religious value, they would go, and the unborn. Well, they're going, no, you got to have abortions, we don't value human life that much. Every participant in the social survey was asked the same question. What kind of a world would you like to live in? A free one, out of my face. That's what I want.
Well, I bet you they gave you the answers, too.
Would you like to be poked in the eye with a sharp stick, or would you like to live in, what we want? Based on the responses, eight pillars were formed and became the basis for building a society of a new format called the Creative Society. In order to implement it, People from all over the world are currently uniting and taking action within the project at the same time. So then it goes down funding. Here we go. Who funds a Creative Society project? All actions and activities within the framework of the Creative Society project are carried out solely by the project participants themselves on their initiative, by their choice and willingness, and at the expense of their own funds. By Forserve, I know what this means. The Creative Society Project does not have bank accounts, finance, or property, does not accumulate funds, and does not make any profit. The Creative Society is an entirely volunteer-based project run by aliens, operating within the legal framework. It represents solely the interest of people themselves rather than the specific states, parties, or organizations. So states, parties, countries, that's all gone. The legal basis for activities of individuals within the Creative Society Project, aimed at building, yeah, blah, 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 I get New World Order crap, okay? So this is, so did you drill down on this at all? Or you just said, because this, man, it definitely got my attention.
Yeah, I watched some of their videos, and basically it's, if you go to YouTube, they have their own channel, and it's basically like, you know, watching Al Gore saying that we're all going to drown in 2013, you know, type of videos. So, I don't know, like, and there's experts, they have experts on there that are talking about that, you know, if we don't do anything, we're going to all die. You know, it's all about fair. They know that they will use fair to try to convince people, you know, to get involved with any kind of project. And who wouldn't want, like, $10,000 free a month? That's a lot more than I make currently.
That doesn't matter if, right? if it doesn't buy you anything. You know, cause yeah. With all the, you know, crap that's going on, $10,000, you think inflation. I went to a convenience store. Well, it's a little market called Trading Wind, whatever. You know, it's close by here where we have the bus. And I go in there, and I got 4 sticks of butter. I got a pint of milk because they didn't have creamer for my coffee, damn it. So I got a pint of milk. I got a quart of milk, and then it was some banana chips. I mean, like nothing. I mean, it one little bitty, you know, those mini grocery bags. You know, oh yeah, and I got, you know, some vanilla ice cream, so I splurged. But I got nothing. I mean, it was probably 7-8 items, and it was $49. And I go, what the crap? So you think inflation on food and stuff is bad now? You wait, and you wait until this crap starts coming in. That $10,000 don't mean squat. And I'm going to get a house, yeah? Who's going to build them? Can I build my own? No! We do the Occupy the Land thing. We get to Arizona. That's why we're up here. Derek and I...
Well, don't worry. You're going to get a minimum of 620 square foot, though, Ernie, so...
Yeah. That's a shipping container down by the light rail system with everything a body needs, gruel coming out of the
And it didn't say anything about property size.
There is not going... No! No meat. Oh, I did a show with, what is today, Thursday? Last night, I did a show with James Corbett. We do every other week. And, you know, we're going on, and it was going off on all the different news stuff, you know, a lot of stuff we'll cover. And I go, James, you know, what's before we get going, man, tell me what's up with you. You know, what scared the crap out of you since we talked, you know, last couple of weeks? He goes, ticks are now giving you a disease that makes you allergic to meat. And I go, what? I looked at
Yeah, that's been a thing here too. Yeah.
How does that even work? You're all of a sudden, boom, you eat meat and you start breaking out in the hives and hurling. What happens? How are you allergic to meat?
I don't even know how it works, but you know, I assumed what was it, Plum Island, where suddenly Lyme disease, yeah, exactly, and that was a biological warfare lab. You know, who knows what these bastards are up to? You know, look at what, you know, GMO mosquitoes that's around, and, like, who knows what the, yeah, and then, you know, vaccinate people through their lettuce, you know, all this kind of insane behavior that's out there, because they just want you to eat synthetic stuff. You know, Bill Gates, he has his own garden, you know, he eats his own fresh fruit and, you know, non-GMO and organic, you know, meat or whatever he wants, but it's for the peasants, you know, like, we're overpopulated, but then people in the elite sectors are saying that we're underpopulated, and like it's confusing. And then you just got to look at their beliefs, and most of their beliefs are Malthusian, which basically means, you know, that there's too many people, we got to get rid of most of them. And it just goes down to that, like looking at most of the elites that are, you know, in the ESG movement and all the stuff that are talking about, you know, we got to, you know, get onto the train and reduce our, you know, carbon footprint and all this stuff. You know, when it all comes down to it, they're all like, you know, when you ask more questions to them, most of them are Malthusian. So they basically think it's too many people. You know, we got to get the population down. But what they don't understand is, you know, when population goes into a collapse, you know, there's nobody left to do anything. And how are we going to produce anything? How are we going to fix anything? You know, it's, they're probably some of the dumbest people. You know, I think it's a religion, basically, you know, the transhumanist movement, you know, with AI and all this stuff that, oh, we're just going to have robots do everything for us. You know, who needs all these useless peasants? But again, that's, you know, I think a pipe dream that's, you know, dreamed up by basically religion. You know, that thing's taken out, yeah.
That's how these guys, you know, look at. All right, here's the story. Alpha-gal syndrome, whatever the heck that is, meat allergy linked to tick bites rising. CDC says, the rate of Americans developing a rare meat allergy from tick bites is rising. Researchers say it may have already impacted as many as 450,000 people. You're going to be allergic to meat. You don't want to eat meat. I'm looking at this stuff and I'm going, who are they talking to? The children. Generation Next. This is the kind of crap they're being exposed to constantly. Who's out there? Help me out, man.
Yeah, there's good news. I'm printing money right now in my garden. That's very good news.
There you go. You ain't gangsta unless you're growing money, you know?
Yeah. You got to create your own money. You know, have a business or print your own resources, you know, commodities.
Well, tell me, we get into a lot of the economics, I wanted you to explain to me, and because I remember this is what triggered us going on the road with the Love Bus, and we knew that there was going to be stimulus. I didn't know they were going to do lockdowns, but I knew it was going to be a vaccine thing. We could see that kind of, that's why we did Vaccine Education Summit in 16 and in September of 19. I'm going, look, this is what's coming. They're going to mandate this. So we kind of saw it coming, but the lockdown and the pandemic, you know, plandemic thing, scamdemic, whatever you want to call it. You know, I didn't see that one. That kind of surprised me. It didn't surprise me, but I wasn't, you know, expecting that. But the during that time in September, mid-September, October, I think, was when they did the repo window thing that was going on. And I saw you were talking about that, and you had a graphic on that explaining that. So it's one thing I wanted to make sure that, because when that happened, I remember it triggered, and I'm going, they're going to do it. So here we go. And I didn't delve into it. Explain it to me like I'm a fifth grader and for the audience of what we're talking about.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? What's going on?
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Thank you. USA News Update. Former President Trump is fighting the protective order in his election interference case. Trump's lawyers claim politicians are already using the case to raise money. They say President Biden is capitalizing on the indictment after posting a video of himself sipping coffee from a dark Brandon mug. In his first one-on-one interview with a broadcast network, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis told NBC's Dasha Burns, if the election is a referendum on President Biden, the GOP will win. But
if, on the other hand, the election is not about January 20th, 2025, but January 6th, 2021, or what document was left by the toilet at Mar-a-Lago, if it's a referendum on that, we are going to lose.
When pressed, DeSantis says, of course, Trump lost in 2020. Most Americans disapprove of President Biden's handling of climate change. A Washington Post University of Maryland poll found 57% disapproval. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Your independence on the Free Talk Live network is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Let's talk about your positive experiences using Dash. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and are protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. BitRefill allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. We want to thank Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use. Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Now back to more of our discussion with John Snizen, TheEconomicTruth.org.
Well, so yeah, so what happened in 2019 on September 17th is that there was overnight the distrust in the financial market, and there was probably somebody that was insolvent, you know, a major bank, and nobody wanted to lend. So what ended up happening, interest rates jumped from 1% up to 10% in the overnight window. So they basically borrow their, like, they have regulations in the banking market that you have to have X amount of reserves or whatever in assets. And so when you don't have that, you got to go on the repo market and borrow overnight for somebody that has. So you give them cash, and then you get the collateral, which is treasuries or whatever, back in for your money, and then you swap it back the next day, right? But so what ended up happening was that there was probably an insolvent institution, and
we'll
there was
week.
The trust.
We'll
yeah, nobody wanted. We'll yeah, nobody wanted to. Nobody wanted to lend because everybody distrusted everybody. And so the Federal Reserve just came in and said, oh, we're just going to be the lender of last resort again. We're going to restart our quantitative easing. Like, at first they started, actually before, this was even before the repo market blow-up, I was watching, you know, the purchases of things. And so they're actually purchasing treasuries before the repo market started. So they were doing that. Before, and then suddenly it turned into a repo thing, and then what ended up happening was that, you know, the repo turned into what was called term repo, which is basically they had to extend now for 2 weeks at a time these loans instead of overnight, and then those 2 weeks they turned into 1 month, and then the 1 month turned into 3 months, you know, terms of lending, right? And then after that, they just outright bought it because they knew that they were screwed. There was no way they're going to deal with it with, you know, just keeping that, you know, terms flowing. So just outright just bought $4.5 trillion in assets in treasuries and mortgage-backed security derivatives. So they basically, and they bailed everybody out. Like, I think there's an episode of us going through those numbers in great detail, you know, with JP Morgan. It was every bank. And what's even more interesting is the banks that was bailed out, they were on a list, a specific list from an organization called the Financial Stability Board, which is a global organization that regulates anything to do with finance. And they tell which bank should be too big to fail, basically, and who should be bailed out. And so, sure enough, 95%, I think, of those banks were on the on that GSIB list, Globally Systemically Important Bank list, of that year of 2020 or whatever, yeah, 2019 list, they got all bailed out. And so it was all set by 20 central bankers who was the banks that was going to get bailed out. And that is the banks, you know, that will be last standing because now that you have all the collapses and all the commercial debt and all the other bad banks out there, they're just going to merge into mega banks like we have in Europe and in Asia. You know, there's only four or five banks usually in most countries around the world, except for, you know, very few places that are left, which have, you know, like in the United States, where there's like thousands of banks, right? So I think they're just coming after. They want to, you know, mega merge. And then, of course,
competition is a sin.
Oh, of course, yeah. So it's all about getting bigger. And, of course, the primary dealers, you know, the guys that actually own shares in the Federal Reserve, they're the ones that want to control everything, right? So, you know, the JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and all these other big banks, like they are the ones that, you know, want to have control. And, of course, they put forward their representatives at the Federal Reserve and in other central banks, and which then chooses who's going to be the banks that will get bailed out. So they're basically just setting it up so they could, you know, put themselves as the banks that will be last standing on the earth. And then, you know, they have full control over all the assets from every other bank. And there's just like mega banks now.
Okay, now let me add something. This overnight lending thing, when they did that, that was part of the LIBOR interest rate setting thing that they did, right? Isn't that just part of LIBOR?
Well, yeah, it was back, like LIBOR was the rate, right, that you lent overnight, but now it's called SOFR. They've swapped it over, but not all of them have swapped over from LIBOR to, you know, SOFR yet, which is the benchmark interest rate for that's the base of the world, basically.
See, this is my point. Yeah. The interest rate by the overnight, because this is how it goes. A bank has so much assets under management, blah, 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 and they got to keep a certain reserve. So if they are under, over, whatever it is, they got to have at least, I don't know, it used to be, you know, 5%, then 10, then 20, and then, like, you know, in Canada, you don't even have one, you don't care, and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and then not in the U.S. anymore either after May of 2020.
Oh, my God. So what they did is when they were required to keep this percentage, it keeps changing, in reserve to make sure they had cash for, like, people needed cash. I mean, you know, so they, you know, run on the bank kind of thing. So that was the requirement. Well, if they didn't have it, well, they got to have it. So overnight. I mean, the next freaking day, they got to have it right there at the end of business. So they go into the market and they say, all right, well, we need it. Well, this is what happened with Lehman Brothers when the financial crash, you know, went, wasn't it? They needed money and nobody wanted to lend it to them. So, you know, they defaulted and then here we go, you know.
Well, yeah, it's the same with the banks out too. Yeah, sorry.
So what the banks did is they go out and they want to get the money and then the interest that they pay on it, there was some manipulation of that, which was the LIBOR. LIBOR stands for who cares. So they had a big controversy.
London Interbank Offered Rate.
Thank you. So they, yeah, London, whatever. So what happened was, is that there was some scandal that went on them fixing the price and how and who was making
the London Veil.
So then they, that kind of blows over, and eventually they do away with that, and they go to something else, and then when they needed the money, and they go, well, what are you going to put up for it? Well, this is how the Federal Reserve gets all these toxic waste things back in, you know, 09 or something, is that they're given dollar for dollar on crap that they knew was going to go away. And I kept asking, I had all kinds of experts and everybody on going, what happens to those assets, those deeds, those whatever that's on the Fed's balance sheet now? It just sits there until it expires, and they write it off 30 years later.
That's it. Yep.
They're just not doing anything. And I'm going, who are these people? So now you're saying that there's no pay it back on the overnight lending anymore, because I remember, I think we did a show back then, and it was, oh, well, you get 3 days, oh, you get a week, oh, you get a month, oh, you get a never, you know? Who does this kind of stuff? Then the Federal Reserve just starts printing up a bunch of money, and they need to get it into the system. That's what we're living on now. That's what the stock market's going up now. So somehow, they got it straight to Vanguard and BlackRock, as they're some kind of sponsored institution by, give to them first so they can buy everything. You'll own nothing because they own it, okay? And that would bring prices up. It's so bad that now they're going, we're going to give you $10,000 a month in monopoly money, you know? So how far off am I? I mean, is this all part of the same continuation of kicking the can down the road? Is that what's going on?
Oh, of course it is. Like, it's the same thing. Like, they can't fix this. Like, it has to be reset, and but they're not willing, you know, to actually come out and let that happen. They're definitely afraid of, like, actually for the first time, like, this is going on right now where actually the monetary system is contracting. Like, M2 money supply is negative month over month, so it means that it's actually declining. The only time when monetary, the size of the M2 has ever declined, which is you know, one of the major, they used to have M3 and even M4, but they got rid of that because it was too much currency in circulation. They didn't even tell everybody. But the M2 is actually shrinking, which means that people are defaulting on their loans. And that's not very good for, you know, the central banker out there, because in a Ponzi scheme, you need constant more people coming in and borrowing, to then feed, you know, everybody on top. So the whole pyramid, you know, gets paid in the pyramid scheme, right? So what's end up happening is when there's people that can't pay because now it's, you know, the monetary system is shrinking, there's less, like, there's actually a huge demand to get dollars to pay off the debt and the interest, but there's not enough. And so what happens is usually you get the business cycle, you know, it's called, where, you know, it's the usual, you know, bankruptcy in a sector because they overborrowed and they can't access or can't get a hold of enough dollars, right? So that's usually what happens because there's always more interest in existence than all the debt. You know, if you paid off all the debt, we would still owe interest and that currency doesn't exist. So it would be like bankruptcy, right? But what is happening is you had got all this, when it deflates the system is, because it's a lot of delinquencies. Right now, you know, talk about 2008 was bad, like, and then 2020 was bad when they locked down the economy. So, okay, so in 2020, they locked down the economy. The U.S. bankrupt. So this is delinquency rates of other banks, this is not the 100 largest banks, but these are all the other banks when it comes to credit card delinquencies right now. And so the number in 2000 and, you know, five, six, and eight that, you know, no, sorry, in 2008 that peaked at, you know, was 5.5%. You know, that's when, you know, everybody was losing their homes and people, you know, lost a whole bunch. But then in 2020, of course, because they locked everybody down, you know, nobody could pay it. So they, well, they gave you like a moratorium. You didn't have to pay it, right? But guess what? Like that was 7.25%. Well, guess where it's at right now?
No
it's
idea.
At 7.25%. It's at the peak of the lockdown number. Like that's where we're at, Ernie, with credit card delinquencies in the United States right now. And so you're looking at the same amount of level of like bankruptcies that you had during the peak of a lockdown. You know, when nobody, we were forced not to work. Now we're all back to work and we're at the same level.
Nah, we're going to have a 4-hour work week, work day. It's all good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be great. You know, like having less money, I guess, you know, coming in as a salary for people that, like here in Canada, I think it's like 62% lives paycheck to paycheck. And I think it was an equal number that had less than $200, you know, for an emergency that would happen. And so all these people are living paycheck to paycheck, and they barely have money. And then you take interest rates from, you know, let's say, so let's do thought experiment here. Let's make it very simple. Let's say you had $100,000 or $200,000 mortgage. You paid $1,000 on that. And let's say that you renewed it during the bottom of the, you know, when everybody said, oh, just borrow a whole bunch of money. It's fine. You know, here we had the central bank chief, Tip McClem. He said, oh, don't worry. We're not going to raise interest rates until the end of 2023. Well, where are we now? You know, he lied right to people's faces. But anyway, so people went and borrowed on a massive scale because they thought it was fine. They went and bought a ton of houses that they couldn't really afford. Like, they were just, you know, they could afford it, but it was like barely, you know, could afford it. And then
they
take interest rates.
They buy a monthly payment. They're not buying
exactly.
It. Whatever they can afford, they can get. Depends on the interest rate. And then, like in Canada, don't you have to refinance your home every few years or something?
5 years. Well, it depends. Like some people are variable, but you can have a 6 month, 1 month, 2 month, 3 month. And then 5 year a term. So I'm on a 5 year term. I actually just renewed my mortgage and my payment, which is hilarious, only went up by, you know, I think, 10% because I had a higher interest rate when I renewed the first time. So I didn't see anything, but the people that, you know, thought back to the thought experiment, you know, if you paid $1,000, let's say at 2%, well, now you have to renew at 6%. Well, what is that? That's a threefold increase. So now you're going to have to pay $3,000 instead of $1,000. You know, if you live paycheck to paycheck, what's going to happen, Ernie? Right? Like,
you
want to
see how you'll own nothing? This is it.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Exactly.
I want to drill down on this a little bit because I remember we had talked before about this. In Canada, when you get a mortgage, you have to refinance it, renegotiate, re-something, where in America we have, you know, and I don't know if it's mandate or whatever, but you got like 15-year loans, 30-year loans, hell, they'll get in, you know, generational loans they're doing in Japan and crap.
But Japan, they had 100-year old.
Yeah, you're bringing in your kid, you know, as collateral. Yeah, you know, he's going to be paying it, you know. So you have in Canada, it's 5 years later, and they go, you got to refinance. Are they obligated to refinance you? You know, is it, you know?
They could just call in the mortgage too. Like you got to remember, like any bank could do that at any time to our mortgages. They could be like, hey, I need my money right now, and if you owe, you know, you're on the hook, and so will I be, right? Like, so if you are, you know, have a mortgage, you think that they're just gonna have to refinance me. Well, what if you can't pay it? Like, what if they actually look at your finances because they got to get everything, you know, every single detail about your finance? And what if they just deem that, well, you just can't afford, you know, to have a mortgage anymore? Or you know what a lot of people here in Canada has done now? Instead of, you know, like, let's say they had like 10, 15 years left on their mortgage. Well, when they renew, they go to a 30-year mortgage. Like, I just keep on paying down until I'm done. people, like I think I have like 12 years left now, but people would go from that mortgage and then extend it to a 30-year mortgage again.
So you can't
because
get
you just can't.
You
yeah,
can get a 30-year like, mortgage.
But not like in the U.S. It's a like you could basically do a term of 30 years, right? Is that correct? Like you could lock it in for 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that we don't have that. Like, but it's a 30-year mortgage, but locked in for up to 5 years. So, but then you have to renew it, you know, after 5 years.
So it's like a variable rate.
No, it's fixed. Like you set it for X amount. You could have
yeah,
a variable.
Yeah, I mean, after 5 years, you have to requalify or something, or whatever. Then it's not fixed.
Yeah. You got, and then you get whatever new rate is available, right?
This
so,
is what
and that's
were,
what's yeah.
This
yeah.
is what they were doing. They do various different things. It used to be. They call it cash to mortgage. Here in America, there was a time during the 80s it was a big deal when, you know, thing was getting inflated. And you could take over an FHA loan or a VA loan or something like that. If it was a government loan, you could go in and just take it over. Okay, I'm taking over your payments. And then if there was an appreciation or they wanted some money on their equity or something, then you would have what a cash to mortgage second mortgage that you would have with the person that you bought it from. So you'd have the title company, you'd pay the bank, you know, whatever the original deal was, and then you had a second one that was up and above that, another few hundred dollars or whatever, that went to the people that sold it to you. So that was how people were able to get in when the interest rates went stupid, you know, 10, 14% or something. It was crazy. So then you go, okay, well, now then they came up with, you know, all these ninja loans, no income, no job, no, they didn't care. You fog this mirror, you get a loan kind of thing. But they were pumping the economy, just make it look good on paper, or like me kind of crap. Well, then they have what they call the variable rate, and it wasn't locked in. So you had a contract, and they get people, they didn't know any better. Oh, yeah, that's my payment. Yeah, cool, whatever. Well, you haven't read the fine print. Yeah, I totally agree. And, I signed my totally agree, you know, iTunes contract, and then you get a $500 bill for, you know, whatever. But what they did is the variable rate would be after so many years, it was renegotiated, or if the, you know, some Fed rate or Treasury bill, or it was some index that they had, that it changed. And then all of a sudden, you could have a double your mortgage. And this mm-hmm. happened over and over and over. And I'm going, okay, well, yeah, don't do that. You do a fixed, you know, a rate. At least you know what your bill is going to be. Well, when I heard that in Canada, you had to redo the entire loan to qualify again for the home, it's not really yours. You know, I mean, it's always the banks anyway, so you want...
Oh, yeah. Then so they pay that last penny. And then it's the government's property tax.
Right. You're renting it from the government, you know.
Yeah.
So I am really... You know, I don't want to get off on OccupyTheLand.org, by the way. Occupy. Yeah, go to that. Go to OccupyTheLand.org. We're just starting to do the...
I like it.
The webpage. You know, we're getting ready. Well, it's going to be, you know, as a concept, get out of the cities. Build your own property. But they don't want you to. Oh, check this out.
Ooh, look at that.
Yeah, no, that's our home. Now, this is what they did. About a month ago, the governor in Arizona comes out and says, if your home is on well water, you are not getting in Maricopa County, there in the Phoenix area, you're not going to be able to get building permits. You must get your SOMA and your fluoride on the municipal water
really?
Treatment. And I go,
scumbags.
Oh, that's good. So that makes my job easier because we were going to do rainwater catching basin thing, whatever, anyway. But, you know, so I get the build and yeah. You know, you got to be, because I'm going to make them say it. You know, make them make you, make them say it. And I know what the real thing is. Bob and I, we were, that's a long story, but what happened is we started to realize in talking to a lot of people, the ones that were more liberty-oriented, they grew up on well water. It was just like...
I got well water.
it was like a well water thing. Yeah. When you get into the cities and municipal corporations that have, and they always are coming in, part of their League of Cities and Towns and their New World Order of whatever, the county level, it started in the mid-90s, they have to have everybody on the municipal water system. That's their big thing.
Yeah, or they tried here to get me on sewage just recently, just a couple of years ago. They tried to force me to hook up, but we didn't.
Well, you know, what's in it? Well, sewage, there's that, you know. Yeah. But, you know, all the pharmaceuticals that come out of everybody and whatever the hell they add to it. But they didn't want people on well water, and they'll give up whatever excuses they can to do it. You know, it's not healthy, it's poison, it's rare, it's whatever.
What about control?
They want control. So this, I can see it's so obvious what's happening. Then I get this creative society crap, and I'm going, are you freaking kidding me? I am just so this. I didn't like that. I saw that, and that just you know, scared me. I get that. I'm going, nope. This is, you wanted to see the face of it. Here it is. You know, and there's a bunch of other stuff. Now, how supported is this? How prevalent? Because they're talking 180 countries, you know, with voluntary basis and the polling of the voting of the whatever. We asked everybody, and they said, you may not be in, but all your neighbors are, you know, kind of thing. So where does this go?
Well, it goes to us owning nothing, and we'll be pissed off. I'm not going to be happy.
Here's your happy shot. You'll be happy. Yeah. You're so much.
Yeah, seriously. Like, yeah, exactly. And also, I think that's been their goal ever since Gro Harlem Brundtland from Norway created Agenda, you know, Our Common Future was the book. And actually, one of my friends as a wealth manager, he was a wealth manager, major banker, and quit. But he told me at school, at the university, he had to read Our Common Future. By Gro Harlem Brundtland, and one of the co-authors was a guy called Maurice Strong, which is from Manitoba. But his last days, he actually lived in China, hiding from, you know, I think it was the OECD that he worked at, that he stole a whole bunch of money from, and so he's hiding in China, you know, to get away from it. And then he's one of the top guys that actually, in James Corbett's video on the... it's on the oil, you know, big oil and how they control everything. Well, actually, he was hired. Maurice Strong was, you know, found in the oil fields of Alberta by Rockefeller and then groomed to, you know, become actually pushed forward with, you know, the Rockefeller pushed the ESG movement in its initial stages into the United Nations.
And for the full interview with John Snyzen of economictruth.org, go to Declare Your Independence with Ernest.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my health today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. 877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend.